A few moments ago, we were singing a song. Talked about there's power in the name of Jesus. The Bible says that, doesn't it? There's power, and God has given him a name above every name. Please don't raise your hand. But have you ever, kind of like in the back of your mind, wondered about that? Especially after you have said, in the name of Jesus, whatever. And the thing you said in the name of Jesus about didn't change. You know, well, I thought the name of Jesus, well, it is. Well, then what's the deal? What's going on? I don't get it. If the name of Jesus is all that powerful and so on, then how come when I said in the name of Jesus such and such, it didn't happen? Well, first off, if you're trying to use the name of Jesus in a way that is not outlined in Scripture, forget it. You know, you can't go around rebuking everybody you don't like. You know, in the name of Jesus, shut up. You know, that's not going to work. Just, it has to be within the structure of the Word of God. But even at that, what if you're using the name of Jesus relative to how the name, or the relative to how God's will is revealed in Scripture? Still doesn't work. Well, what's the problem? And I'm sure that many, if not all of you here watching and listening, have wondered about that from time to time. You don't want to be critical of Jesus or his name or Scripture, but you kind of like, I don't get it. You know, I mean, it says this in the Word, but, you know, I'm not seeing the results. All right. That's a fair question. It's a very fair question. Tonight we're going to take a look at this, not simply relative to the name of Jesus, but just the whole aspect of faith, because true faith never fails. I mean, it just doesn't. A lot of people say things like, well, that faith stuff, it just doesn't work. But the just is supposed to live by faith, and Jesus talked about if you had faith, a grain of mustard seed. I mean, so we see a pattern in Scripture talking about faith and how that, well, it's supposed to work. Yes, well, Brother Martin, you know, that word of faith message, that's just a bunch of heresy. Well, now, wait a minute. The word of faith message from where? If you're talking about the word of faith message that is described in Scripture, it's not heresy. It's real. That, I mean, you can't argue with it. Well, I mean, I guess you can, but you'll lose. It's truth. That's the way it is. The word of faith message that has been preached by a lot of preachers, well, now, a bunch of them have twisted it. But nevertheless, a lot of people say, I've heard of this, you know, well, I don't want anything to do with that word of faith message. Well, why not? You know, are you a Christian? Yes. How'd you get saved? Put my faith in Jesus. Ah, the word of faith. So, I mean, you couldn't get saved without practicing the principle outlined in Scripture called the word of faith. Well, let's think about this for a moment. Every one of you in here at some point in time, well, maybe not all of you, but most of you in here, I'll leave it like that. Most of you in here and listening and watching, you've purchased a vehicle. Now, if that vehicle was brand new, it came with an owner's manual. If it was used, it should have come with an owner's manual. You know, sometimes, you know, they just don't make it in the transition. And in that owner's manual, it talks about the vehicle you've purchased. A lot of people, they just think they know everything there is to know about the vehicle. So they just start driving. And then they look around, it's like, I wonder what this does over here. I wonder what this does. What does that light mean? Well, I don't know what. Well, what's this over here? And what's this? Okay, read the manual. That's just too easy. I think I'll push this button and see what happens. You might not want to do that. A lot of people don't want to take the time to read the manual. Did you know that, I don't know that this is true today, but years ago, Ford, You know the things that we used to call the cigarette lighters? Well, they're not called cigarette lighters anymore. They're called power ports. But they used to be called cigarette lighters. That's back when the cars came with a cigarette lighter. Well, anyway, the power port. You know how you have a cell phone, and your cell phone has a cord to charge it with, and you can buy a charger that fits into the power port, formerly known as cigarette lighter. Well, years ago, Ford, and I don't understand all the mechanics about this, but you were not supposed to start your car with one of those plugged in. Because if you did, it would mess up your electrical system. Now, I don't think it's like that anymore. Well, how many people messed up their electrical system because they just, you know, well, plug it in there, let's see if it works. Then they couldn't figure it out. Because I know somebody that happened to. I mean, it completely blew that thing. Well, you know, if you read the owner's manual, it's amazing what you might learn. Knowing that, the Bible is the operator's manual for the new nature and life in the kingdom. You understand this? And what that means is contained within Scripture is everything you need to know about being a Christian and living in the kingdom. Everything. There's nothing outside Scripture that you can learn about being a Christian and living in the kingdom. Now, I stand up, I teach, I preach, but what I teach and preach is relative to what is recorded in Scripture. But there are a lot of people out there that are going to teach you some very strange things about living as a Christian. How many of you heard about the lady that got crushed to death in church? Someone sent me a link to this. Did you hear what happened? Oh, get this. Honestly, this happened. You can find it on the internet. And they can't put it on the internet unless it's true. No, but this actually happened, and there are pictures of it. There is a preacher, a pastor in the church, and he was preaching about faith. Well, you got to have faith, and with faith you can do anything, and the power of God, and all this other. And so to demonstrate this, he asked for a volunteer. A lady came up, and he had her lay down, face up, on the floor, like up on the platform or whatever. Then he had some ushers get a big speaker, kind of like this subwoofer over here. That subwoofer weighs 125 pounds. So, and nobody's stealing that, okay? And they picked this thing up, and they set it on top of her, and then the pastor climbed on top of it. And he, I don't know how long he was up there, but anyway, when he got off, she wasn't breathing, and they took the speaker off, and ultimately what happened was they had broken some ribs, and they took her to the hospital, and she died because they had crushed and punctured a lung. And the pastor put the blame on the lady because she didn't have enough faith. Yeah. Still in jail? Yeah. I don't even know if he... I don't know. I mean, this just... From what I know, this happened within the last few weeks. I don't know what has happened since then. Now, that's just plain dumb stupid, and you can't find anything in Scripture to support that kind of activity. You understand what I'm saying? And yet, there are people in the church... I'm sure there were probably some people in the church thinking, I'm not so sure this is a good idea. And now that lady's dead. She's dead. She's with Jesus. And this pastor, he is blaming that lady. Now, me, that guy should never have been pastoring in the first place, because anybody that blankety-blanking stupid has been preaching stupid stuff all along. And I'm sorry if, I'm not sorry, but I am sorry if what I just said offends you, but that's the bottom line harsh reality of it. That there's no way anybody should ever have been attending that guy's church unless for whatever reason God told him, go to that church. Maybe, you know, we can speculate all we want, you know. But somebody's dead. There's a lady who died. And, well, you know, Brother Martin, when your time comes. No, wait a minute. That was, Yeah, God knows when you're going to die, but he also knows how. And if you die by stupidity, well, he'll still receive you, but it sure isn't the best. The Bible is the operator's manual. So if we go to this question of, well, you know what, I used the name of Jesus, but I didn't see the results. What's the problem? Pastor, what's the problem? Well, it's outlined in Scripture. Well, that may be true, but I don't really want to take the time to find out. I want you to tell me. Okay, the problem is you don't know enough about God's Word. That's the problem. Oh, no, 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 Pastor, I have faith. Well, yeah, you know what? True faith works, though. Well, yeah, but I do have true faith. How do you know? Because I said so. Look over in Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. What I've discovered, and I was guilty of this as well, and really, I may still be. No, let me change that from a may. I probably am still guilty of this to a certain point, but sure not the way I used to be. A lot of Christians, they just don't want to admit that they may not be as far along as they really are. In Romans chapter 12, look here in verse 3. For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. And I have heard, I'll say it like this, you know, polite fussing and arguing and debating and so forth about, well, what is the measure of faith? Okay, let me put it like this. What difference does it make? What difference does it make? What's the big deal? If you find out what the measure of faith is, does that mean you're living by it? No, it just means you know what it is. So what difference does it make what it is? You need to find out how to develop what you've been given. Now think about this. Well, does that mean that I got less than somebody else? Okay, now let's think a minute. Okay, wait a minute. It says, what does it say here? God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Okay, what if it does mean that you got less than somebody else? If God dealt it to you, that means he knows that's what you need. Do you understand this? So if he gave, you know, you 100 pounds of faith and gave me 50 pounds of faith, that means he knows I need 50 pounds and you need 100. So what difference does it make? Do you understand what I'm saying? And people fuss about the measure when they don't focus on what they're supposed to do with it. Well, let's look at another verse that kind of goes along with this. In Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. So we see in Romans 12, 3 that God has dealt to every single Christian the measure of faith. So it's been dealt to you. You want to call it, you know, I mean, however you want to define it is almost irrelevant. The bottom line is God has dealt it to you. Now in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, look at this. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. The author of our faith. So God has dealt to every man the measure of faith, and now we see that Jesus has authored that faith in us. Let's look at another place. Galatians chapter 2. In Galatians chapter 2, in verse 20, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. We could say it like this. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the measure of faith God has dealt to me, because he loved me and gave his Son for me. Or we could say it like this. The life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith authored in me by the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. We're saying the same thing. So God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. Jesus has authored faith in us, and now we're supposed to be living by that faith. That faith that He, God, dealt to us and that Jesus authored in us. It's the same thing. So it's not a matter of what is the measure of faith? How much is that? Does everybody have the same? Okay, let's say for a moment that everybody got the same. Yes, but I'm not so sure I agree with that. Okay, we're not here asking for your agreement. Let's just say that everybody got the same amount. Okay, what are you doing with that? Do you remember when the talents were given? Now, in that story, some people got more talents than others, but they still had to use it. Do you remember the boss gave the stewards money, and he said, I'm paraphrasing here, he said, make me money with this. Make me money with this, right? Remember that? Make me money with this. And then when he came back, he called them to account for what they had done. The one guy said, well, you know, here's your 10, got 10 more. Well, here's your 5, here's 5 more. Well, I took your 1 and I put it in my sock drawer because I knew you're a tough guy and I knew blah, blah, blah. Okay, what do we have? And a lot of people haven't really understood what was happening, but what was the instruction? I'm giving 10, I'm giving 5, and I'm giving 1. Now, take it and do something with it for my increase. And so the guy that had the 1, the guy that had the 1 had the least amount of work to do. The other guy had 10, the other guy had 5. This guy, he's only got 1. And the boss came back and he said, you could have at least put it in the bank and got a little interest on the thing, but you didn't even do that. In other words, he received something, but he refused to do the will of his master with what he had been given. And some of us think, at least he gave it back. Yeah. Do you remember there's a verse in the Bible that says when Jesus comes back, will he find faith? In other words, will he find that we have done something with the faith that was given to us? Now, here in this, we all start with faith. And it doesn't matter if we have 10 talents worth, 5 talents worth, 1 talent worth, or we all got the same amount. What matters is how we develop what we've been given. That's what matters. And are we living by what God has given to us? When we got born again, the measure of faith was given to us. That faith was authored in us. We never had it before because that faith is authored in us when we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. So now we have something new that we're supposed to work with. Too many Christians are living by assumption as opposed to faith. Well, I assume this is going to work. Why is that? Because the Bible says so. Well, let's think some more about this. Look back over in Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. Now, I'm telling you, this tonight is going to help a lot of people understand how come it is that they're not getting the results they think they should get. In Romans chapter 10, look in verse 17. So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Nowhere in Scripture, nowhere in Scripture can you see that faith comes for the believer by virtue of hardship, sickness, injury, disaster. You can't find that. It's not in there. And yet people teach that. God will put you through things to develop your faith. Well, that's kind of dumb because a lot of people, they don't respond very well to that. And how many people have walked away from church because they believe God did this to me? That's not very smart on God's part. Well, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. That's it. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Do you realize what's happening right now? As I'm saying this, I am having an impact on your faith that was authored in you by Jesus Christ. I'm standing here declaring the Word of God, and every single person hearing this, their faith is being impacted by it. You may not feel anything. Well, it's not about what you feel. It's about the fact that the Word of God says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. All right, now, faith for God's promises comes from hearing the Word of God's promises. Do you understand this? Faith for God's promises comes from hearing the Word of God's promises. Too many times, and I was guilty of this in the past, preacher stands up, talks about, this is a promise of God. It's like, yes, amen, that's a promise of God. Glory, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. That's a promise of God. I've got a promise from God. And then I don't see the promise manifesting, and it's like, well, I thought that was a promise of God. Well, faith for God's promises comes from hearing the Word of God's promises. See, you can believe that a promise is from God. Absolutely believe it to the point that nobody will convince you otherwise. However, if doubt about its manifestation is stronger than your belief in the promise, doubt wins. You see this? So you can believe that a promise, I believe in the promise of healing. You know, by Jesus' stripes I was healed. I believe that. That is the Word of God. That is the promise. If anybody tries to tell me differently, they're wrong. Because that is a promise of God. Okay. But it also says, lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. That's right. That's another promise from God. They're all promises from God. Hallelujah. Then how many times have you laid hands on people, prayed for healing, and in the back of your mind, all you can think is, what if it doesn't work? What if it doesn't work? What if it doesn't work? It's never worked so far. I've never seen anybody get healed so far. Well, what if it doesn't work? What if it doesn't work? Okay. Doubt about its manifestation is stronger in you than a belief in the promise, and that's why it's not working. This whole thing of you got to believe the Word of God, well, it's true. But a lot of people believe a promise is true, but you have to develop that belief into a living, breathing, everyday expectation, no doubt about it, so on and so forth. You have to come to that thing of, I mean, I don't even know how to really adequately put this. It has to become life to you. It has to become a no-doubter. This is one of the reasons why you've had a lot of people, they have a tremendous amount of success in getting people healed, is because the belief in that promise is a heartbeat on the inside of them. They know it's true. Faith for God's promises comes from hearing God's word of the promises. So the more that you hear this, the more you hear it, the more the faith is being developed on the inside of you that this is a reality. People judge food by their physical senses. They look at food and they think, well, it looks good. And they sniff it and it smells good and take a little taste. Oh, it tastes good. They judge food with their physical senses and then decide if they will eat it. The thing is, a lot of people judge spiritual food by their mental reasoning, and mental reasoning is impacted by the physical senses, and then they decide if what they will and will not accept as being truth. Well, we had, the conferences out in Tulsa. There were some people that went there one time, and they wanted to see what kind of vehicles Tim Stemple, Dave Roberson, and Gary Carpenter drive. That was one of the primary reasons they went out there, to find out what kind of vehicles they drive. Okay, and are you what? Based on the kind of vehicle they drive, that makes what they teach true or a lie? I mean, what? What? I don't get it. What difference does it make what they... What if somebody had given them, you know, a Rolls Royce the week before the conference? And so now what? They drive a Rolls Royce, so you're going to reject the ministry? Christians are weird, man. Well, not all Christians. Yeah, there's a lot of Christians are weird. Truth must be measured by Scripture and its source. It has nothing to do with my physical senses or my mental reasoning. Well, I prayed for 115 people and none of them have gotten healed, so I'm just not sure if this stuff is true. What's the Bible say? Well, I know what the Bible says, however. You're judging the validity of Scripture by you. I mean, that's really what you're coming down to. That's what you're saying. Now, you can do that if you want. I've got news for you. There's a lot of Christians that do that. The Word of God is true, and it doesn't matter if nobody ever gets healed when you pray for them. The Word of God is true. And you can't change this. You cannot use anything relative to physical senses to determine if the Word of God is true or not. Well, I used the name of Jesus, but nothing happened. And most people who talk like that, I used my faith and nothing happened. There's almost like a condescending tone of judgment in their voice. Interpretation. Oh, I get it. Since you didn't get a result, that means God lied to us. No, God didn't lie. Again, why don't you open the manual and find out what's wrong with your vehicle? Why don't you open the manual and start reading it and figure out? Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Well, but I've done that. I've been reading the Bible every day for, you know, an hour a day for a year, and I'm still not seeing. Okay, wait, whoop, time out. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Did you not just hear me? An hour a day for a year. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Did you not just? I heard you. But here's the problem. You need more than what you're getting. That's the way it works. My car's not running right. Well, what kind of gas are you using? Well, I'm using regular. The manual says use premium. Well, premium costs too much. Then your car's not going to run right. The manual says use premium. Well, I don't care. I don't have the money for premium. Then why'd you buy the car? Very simple. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Look, you may have spent more time in the Word than anybody in this room. But if you're still not getting results, guess what? You need more. Well, it's just not fair because that person over there is getting results. Well, they must not have needed as much as you. Maybe they don't have as much unbelief in them as you. How dare you say I have unbelief? Well, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. That's the manual. That's what the book says. You're not going to get around that. I may need more faith than all of you put together. I may need more faith than your kids that are in the classrooms right now. See, it's not about what you do or what he does or what they did or what. It's about me. It's about us as individuals. And some people are dealing with more unbelief than others. It just, why is that? Well, just people. Man, it's just the way it is. Now, I want you to think about this. We have more access to the Word of God than anybody in the New Testament. More access. They sat around and waited for the next letter from Paul. Later on, it became Scripture. They sat around and waited. I mean, you know, they hung around the apostles and heard teaching. But now here we are. We've got the whole thing. The whole thing is all wrapped up in a book. Bound for us. Leather, paperback, hardback, whatever. Small print, large print. Margins, references, all kinds of stuff. When we have the Word of God in print form, a bunch of you have it on your phones, you're using it tonight. Bunch of you have it on your, you know, some pad or whatever you've got, and it's on your computers. You understand what? We have access to the Word of God more than any other generation in all of history. What excuses do we have? I mean, I'm making myself feel guilty here. We don't have any excuses. Absolutely none. I mean, you can go on the internet and listen to it. We have access to more of it. We're more accountable than the early church. Hey, listen to this. We're more accountable for it than even the apostles. They were in the process of receiving it. Do you understand the concept, the perspective on that? See, you know this thing about generational curses? People talk, well, there's a generational curse that's been passed down in our family for years. And then they tell you what it is, blah, blah, blah. And I taught a series on the whole thing of generational curses. But what some people call a generational curse, it might actually be generation after generation after generation of unbelief being sown into the hearts and minds of the children who grow up and become the next generation and sow the same thing into their kids. You ever think about that? Well, we just can't seem to break this thing. It just hangs on and it just won't go away no matter what we do. It just tears everything up. And it just, are you listening to yourself? Are you listening to yourself? Well, Brother Martin, the truth is that, no, the truth is the Word of God. Your circumstances are not the truth. That's a fact of life, but it's not the truth of the kingdom. The truth of the kingdom says, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. The truth of the kingdom said, you'll know the truth will make you free. The truth of the kingdom is, the name of Jesus is above every name. Well, see, you keep dealing with all this stuff. You keep fussing. You keep complaining. You keep getting, well, you know, this thing, it gets passed down through our family, passed down. Okay, what are you going to do about it? Well, Brother Martin, we just have to make the best of it. Well, why don't you do something from the Word of God? Pull out the manual and find out how to address this stuff. Things don't have to stay the way they are. You ever think about that? There's nothing wrong with going to a doctor. Nothing wrong with it. It's okay. It's okay to take an aspirin. It's not a sin to do that kind of stuff. But the Word of God has the answer for every situation. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Worry is not a part of your new nature. It's not a part of your born-again spirit. It's not in there. Now, it's part of the soul and part of the mind, but the thing is, worry is an option for a believer. Now let that sink in. Worry is an option for a believer. I remember years ago, power steering was an option for a car. Power brakes, that's an option. I remember air conditioning was an option. I remember when an FM radio was an option for a car. I remember when all kinds of things were options on cars. In fact, at one time, seat belts were an option. Yeah. I remember my first car was a 1962 Chevrolet Biscayne. And the first thing my dad did, he bought it from a guy named Joe, $300. And the first thing my dad did was go to Main Auto Parts, buy a seat belt kit, and put it in that car. And I've been wearing seat belts ever since. I mean, from day one when I started driving. And now it's the law. It's the law. Are you hearing this? All you people who don't wear seatbelts, whoever you might be, it is the law. The law. And the police will beat you up if you don't. No, they won't. That's not a good thing to say nowadays, is it? They'll then give you a ticket for it, though. They can give you a ticket. Worry is an option for a believer. Now, I want you to think about this word believer. Believer indicates a belief, right? I mean, how can you be a believer if you don't believe anything? Now, for a Christian, this term believer, it indicates that a Christian is called a believer because that Christian believes in the Word of God. Oh, no, Brother Martin, no. A believer means that the person believes in Jesus Christ. Where'd you get the revelation of Jesus? Come on, where'd you get the revelation of Jesus Christ? Word of God. A believer indicates that you believe the Word of God. Too many teach that believer only means a person who believes in Jesus Christ, but you can't believe in Jesus Christ without a revelation of Jesus Christ that came from the Word of God. So here we have the Word of God. A believer indicates you believe in the Word of God. How much of a hypocrite does that make a bunch of Christians? I'm a believer. You are? Yeah. What about healing? Oh, it's not for today. Well, what about miracles? Oh, not for today. What about tongues? Definitely not for today. What about not for today, not for today? In other words, you're just like a partial believer. A believer. What does that mean, a believer? A believer. It's the word is believer. The word is not acknowledger. The word is believer, which means I believe. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Well, guess what? If the Word isn't coming in, I mean, if you're not doing anything to make faith come, then you're not as much of a believer as what you think. You're more of an acknowledger. Do you truly believe that God can work through you with signs and wonders? Oh, I believe that. Do you truly believe you can lay hands on the sick? And oh, yeah, I believe that too. Well, do you believe? Go down the list. I believe that. Why do you believe that? Because that's in the Word of God. We are great at acknowledging. And hey, at least we do that. I mean, honestly, that is a step in the right direction. At least we acknowledge those things are true. But a believer is somebody who believes. Believes. Okay, when you believe, listen to this, when you believe something, the kind of belief I'm talking about here, when you believe it, it totally alters the way you live. Totally alters. See, I met this girl named Kathy on July 3rd, 1981. And as time passed, I started having these thoughts. It's like, I think she likes me. And the more that we hung around together, it went from I think she likes me to what? She loves me. And I didn't have to go through a bunch of flower petals. She loves me. She loves me. I thought, this girl loves me. And, shazam, I love her too. Well, what do you know? And then the whole thing of getting married, you know, talking about that. Next thing you know, I had this ring on my finger. I believe she loved me, she believed I loved her, and it completely altered our way of living. And I mean it altered the way we live. When you get married, it just does. Those of you who've been married, you know. Okay, now. Takes a lot of adjustments. A believer, when we call ourselves believers, it's supposed to alter every aspect of how we live. If you're a believer, then that verse in the Bible that talks about, you know, set no evil thing before your eye, that impacts what you watch on television. It impacts what movies you go to. You follow what I'm saying here? We're acknowledgers, but all too often we allow the flesh to dictate what we want to do, which means we're not really believers. The Bible tells us the day is coming, we're going to stand before God in judgment for the things that we've done while we were living down here on earth. That is what the Bible says. Now, knowing that, don't you think it ought to have an impact on the way we live? Well, it should. The Bible talks about, you know, all the things about sin, you know, don't do them. I mean, if you're a Christian, don't do them. Well, you'd think if the Bible, if you're a believer, listen to this, if you're a believer, you're going to believe it, and you're not going to stand up and tell somebody, you know, if you sin, don't worry, you don't have to repent. Wait a minute, what about the things in Scripture about repenting? But are you a believer? Oh, yes, I'm a believer. No, you're not. No, you're confused. There's something weird going on in your head. I'm not trying to be mean, but hey, a believer is a believer. That's just the way it is. You know, here's what amazes me. And it really, I don't want to say it condemns me, but it convicts me. There are lost people in the Old Testament who lived by more faith than Christians. Abraham was lost. God said, pack it up, head in that direction, and I'll talk to you later. And he left. Gee whiz. I mean, he couldn't even pray in tongues for a month to find out. He wasn't even born again. Noah. God says, build a boat. Noah says, a what? He says, a boat. What's that? He goes, well, it's this big, that big, and that big, and use this kind of wood and do this, and then we're going to put a bunch of animals in it, you and your family will be in there, and then I'm going to make it rain, and everybody's going to die. Noah says, okay. do you understand what I'm saying? And David, have you ever taken the time to read in the Psalms? It's almost like he was born again and prayed in tongues. Where in the world did you get this? How did you get this revelation, David? And he wasn't even born again. Repeatedly in the Old Testament, I read these things, and it can be easy to forget they weren't even born again. And God, he took their faith and he said, you know, you guys are doing a great job. The problem is the Redeemer hasn't come yet, so I'm going to lay faith to your account. But as soon as he shows up, completes his work, it will be imparted to you forever. That's what they had to look forward to. Now we are the living reality of that promise. We are living far beneath the level where we could live. I'm there too, guys. I'm there too. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Leave your finger here in Romans. We'll come right back to it. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, take a look at verse 5. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Every thought. This is before the actions. Casting down imaginations. Casting down imaginations and every high thing, every high imagination, every high thought, every high meditation, every high whatever that is rising up in you, in your thought process, against the knowledge of God. And then you, God won't do this for you, but you, the believer, with the power of God's life in you, you bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. This is what we're supposed to do. Then, back over in Romans chapter 12, in verse 2, and be ye not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind, that ye may be able to prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Be ye transformed by casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, so that you can prove, determine, understand, grasp, get a hold of what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. See this? See the correlation? Our mind. Getting a hold of what's going on in our mind. Look over in Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. These things, let me say it like this, cast down the imaginations that are rising up that are trying to block you from doing verse 8. Cast down the imaginations and bring into captivity every thought that's trying to keep you from doing verse 8. Because in essence, what we have then are two systems of thought being presented here in Scripture. And I'm supposed to do verse 8. Now, church services And the conferences, like what we have here, and what they would have like at the prayer center in Tulsa and so forth, church services and conferences are, and you better listen closely to what I'm saying so you don't miss or misinterpret my words. Church services and conferences and churches like these are, for some people, the most important things in their Christian lives. Absolutely the most critical and important thing. You see, sitting in a service where truth is delivered, it helps to reprogram the hearer's mind and thoughts toward the things of God. What you substitute for church attendance indicates and reveals what means more to you than the Word of God.
Well, I can get the Word of God at home.
Okay, let's continue. Some people need services more than other people because the services are pretty much the only time they get the Word of God sown into their hearts and minds. And that's why the services are the most important thing in the world to them. You can say, well, prayer and fasting, yeah, but people don't do that. Worship and meditation on the Word. I agree with you 100%. But if you don't do these things away from church, then guess what? The church services are the only hope you have. This is it. This is it for you. And when you start laying out a church, you're messing up. When you start saying, well, you know, I got this thing to do over here, and the kids have this, and it's this over here, and we've got to go, and we've got to. And so you don't do much at all during the week, and when you come to church, it's about the only time you get the Word of God sown into you. And here at this church, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and then the conferences come along, or any other special services that we might have, for most people, this is it. And they get basically nothing else throughout the rest of the week. That's why the church services are the most important things in their lives, because they're not getting the Word. They're not getting the worship. They're not getting any of this. They're not getting any of it away from church. That's why they need this. That's why they need to be here. That's why you need to be here. It's not the adequate, it's not the best thing. The best thing is that you carry on beyond church and you get into these things throughout the week. But let's just be honest here. And I'm not trying to be critical. I'm not trying to be harsh. This is living reality in the body of Christ. Most people do squat in between church services. They don't do anything. And it's not because they're mad at God. It's not because they don't want to. Because in their minds, they're thinking, this is what I want to do. I want to get into the Word of God. However, what did Jesus warn? Satan comes immediately to steal the Word. In other words, circumstances. The things the devil has found which can easily keep you away from, you know, prayer, fasting, worshiping the Word, away from church. That's what he uses over and over and over and over again. And so therefore, we live with these frustrations of, man, another week and I didn't do anything. I feel so bad. You know, well, okay, you got church. And the worst stinking thing you can do is lay out. Because right now, this is your only hope. This is it. If it's not happening through the week, this is your only hope for survival. This is it. And too many Christians don't see this. And I'm not saying you're going to walk away from Jesus, because there are a lot of Christians out there that don't ever go to church, but they're still born again. But you understand what I'm talking about when it comes to living the kingdom life we're supposed to here on earth. And not living with the frustrations of, well, I thought the name of Jesus was the name above all names, and I spoke the Word and nothing happened. I prayed for them and they got even sicker. See what I mean? And we want to know what the problem is. Well, we're identifying the problem. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. And for some people, when they come to church, it's the only time they hear it. It's the only time they read it. It's the only time they see it. This is it. So for crying out loud, if that's the way it is in your life, you know, I'm not throwing rocks at you or anything like that. But what I'm saying is, you well better make church attendance the number one priority in your life. Because being here can help you to break through whatever it is that's hindering you throughout the rest of the week. And so that's why I say that for some people, church attendance, church services, conferences are the most important thing for them. Because that's the only time that they're getting any of this. See, this whole thing about the word, a truth-filled mind does not struggle to try and think on the things of God. It just doesn't. Why not? Because it's there. It's there. It's always there. And truth trains the mind to be God-focused. See, your spirit is born again. We understand that. Now we're taking it beyond born again. True faith never fails. And for some people, what happens, on Sundays, in the church services, the ones they attend, if faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God, and Sunday morning or Sunday night, Wednesday night, that's the only time they get the Word of God, that is it. That is the only, listen, that's the only time faith is coming. If faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God, and you're not getting it any time throughout the week away from church, then church is the only time that faith is coming. True faith works. And some people say, well, yes, but Brother Martin, you stand up there and you're saying all these things, and it's easy for you because you're in full-time ministry. Yeah, it's easy for me, all right. Trust me. Time is a vacuum, and it will be filled with something. A lot of people think, if I could just go into full-time ministry, I wouldn't have so many problems. When you go into full-time ministry, you're going to be surprised. Trust me. Oh, there'll be the honeymoon period. And then all of a sudden, you're going to realize, wow, I'm busier now than I was when I was working a full-time job. I don't get this. What's going on here? Satan's fighting. He's fighting. And I'm not going to go off on a tangent about the challenges of being in full-time ministry, but they're there. And they're different challenges, granted. But look, true faith works. It works for you. It works for me. And for all of us. Now, listen, me too, guys. Me too. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So whatever, let me say it this way. Whatever faith inadequacies exist in me, it's because I have not been diligent enough to develop my faith. And I haven't even talked about building up yourselves on your most holy faith by praying in the Holy Ghost. So, we could throw tongues in on there too, and it's still going to be a part of this. But faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Faith doesn't come by praying in tongues. You build yourself up on your most holy faith by praying in tongues. You understand this?
Yeah.
That's a whole other sermon on the how those things work together and all that. Don't want to get into it. I want to encourage you guys. Listen, there's so many people need to hear this message. Faith, true faith works. It really works. The difference is how much we have developed in us that we can use. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. So, if right now your life is so severely complicated that you just don't know how you can give time to the Lord, can you start out with 5 minutes? Really, I'm not meant to be a joke there. Could you start with 5 minutes? Open your Bible, read one verse a day. If you feel like that's the most I can do right now, hey, praise God. That's something. Start somewhere. And see, here's the thing. Sometimes we get so frustrated, we just want to throw up our hands and quit. Well, if I can't spend an hour, what's the use? Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Start with a verse. That's what, 15 seconds? Start with one verse. Start. Just start. And don't lay out, because this is your oasis. This is your oasis. This is where you get to come in, sit, and yeah, participate with the praise and worship, so on and so forth, but you get fed. You get fed, you get fed. And when you're here and you're being fed the Word of God, faith is coming because you're hearing and hearing by the Word of God. So faith is coming. Don't stay away. Don't. Get here. And eventually, I mean, if your heart is right, meaning if you really want this change to come, it'll come. Now, it may be very slowly because you may have a lot of stuff to conquer in your life, but it will come. See, God's not going to load your life down with so much stuff that you can't do a verse, that you can't do something. But He will help you reorder your life so that you can do what you need to do. You just start. You start somewhere throughout the week and get here. You say, well, Brother Martin, I've spent a lot of time throughout the week and I come here. Well, don't stop. Keep going, man. We need you. We need you. We need your iron to sharpen the rest of our iron. Hallelujah.